I'm Leonard Williams, and this is the Jets Blog Podcast.
Welcome back to the Jets Blog Podcast. I am your host, Corey Griffin, and with me, as always, on the other line, it's Brian Bassett. Hey, buddy.
It's 2017. It's a new year, new hope.
Isn't that if we lived in a Star Wars movie, I'd be really happy right now, because then I know that eventually a Jedi is going to come and save everything.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
So is the grander question of, is Mike Maccagnan a Jedi? Do you want to start with that question?
Is he Obi? Which Jedi would he be in your analogy here? Would he be Obi-Wan? Which one would he be?
Well, I forgot. I asked a nerd question of a person who hates nerd culture. So
no, I do like Star Wars. I still haven't seen Rogue One, but I know. I got kids. I got three kids. I ain't got time for that. So
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. What Jedi would... All right, so he's very patient. He's very deliberate. He doesn't say much. And he often speaks in riddles.
Does he get whacked by a guy with red face and horns on his head, a double lightsaber? Or does he continue kind of quietly in solitude on a desert planet?
I'm going to say he might be Qui-Gon Jinn.
He really might be
Qui-Gon Jinn, you know? And he might die for our sins, just like John Idzik did.
You know who then in that scenario is Heimerdinger, the young Heimerdinger? Is he still with the team? I think he is. He might be Obi-Wan.
So in that sense, then Heimerdinger's apprentice, future apprentice in 20 years, will be Luke and will deliver us from this hell that the Empire, aka the Patriots, have perpetrated, and therefore deliver us to a Super Bowl in which we will celebrate by eating other humans and banging the heads of their helmets while dancing alongside 3-foot Muppets.
I know what you're talking about. Those are Ewoks. So see, I'm not a total disdainer of nerd culture. Come on. All right. So anyway, can we keep going with this?
I was about to go real deep on it and ask if you read the article about how the Ewoks are actually cannibals and how that last scene of episode 6 is actually them eating stormtroopers.
Well, because they've got the stormtrooper helmets, right?
Yeah, like, and they were about to eat all the other the Han and them and Luke and them when they caught them.
Yeah, yep. So they're just happy because they're happy because they got lots of food now. That's what they're excited
and
about.
What do you think Leia and them are eating? You think they just got like bear meat just hanging around? No,
I don't think
those
so.
People eating are either endorsing Luke and Leia and Han are either endorsing cannibalism or taking part in it. One of the two.
Wow, that you just blew my mind. But speaking of cannibalism, let's talk about the New York Jets.
Mike Maccagnan, the general manager for the New York Jets, and Woody Johnson, the owner of the New York Jets, addressed the media on Thursday after a 5-11 season, which saw the Jets end with a hilarious yet meaningless and hollow victory over the Buffalo Bills, meaningless because it neither hurt nor helped their draft position given the other teams that won and
thank
lost.
Goodness.
But it was hilarious in the sense that we found a team that is somehow a bigger mess than the New York Jets from the organization top to the bottom in the Buffalo Bills. Nonetheless, the Jets decided to make major changes after the game.
Using air quotes, major changes? Is that what you were doing there? Okay.
Keeping defensive coordinator Casey Rogers, firing a handful of defensive assistants along with quarterbacks coach Kevin Petullo and Chan Gailey, offense coordinator, choosing to air quote retire rather than be fired, if you want to read between the lines of the very thin air quotes. Let's start there, Brian. What do you make of the changes on the coaching staff? Not enough, good enough, where do they go?
Gailey was the sacrificial lamb. And it kind of confounded me. Like we talked a lot on why Casey Rogers couldn't be the sacrificial lamb. So I'm not going to belabor the point too much. But essentially, if Todd Bowles fires Casey Rogers, he's essentially firing himself. That would be like Rex Ryan firing Dennis Thurman, right? Like what are you doing? Like he's the guy who's basically implementing day to day your scheme. So who are we firing here? So I understand the logic of why you wouldn't fire Casey Rogers, but I don't think it was the right answer. And of the two coordinators, offensive and defensive, if I had to keep one of them, it's not Casey Rogers, it's Chan Gailey. Now, I understand Chan Gailey didn't have a great showing in his 2 years with the Jets. I think, you know, Football Outsiders ranked them, I think, in efficiency like 14th last year and like 30th or 31st this year. But I don't think he's the problem. And okay, if you can bring in a young gun, kind of hotshot quarterbacks coach from somewhere else to be your coordinator, okay, I get it. But if you're doing this to then bring in Mark Trestman or Norv Turner, like, what are we doing here? You're basically just bringing in the same crusty old innovative guy that you just had and just fired for, I don't know, arbitrary reasons.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Gailey firing, if only because I don't think his job is particularly appealing.
Who are you going to get? You're not going to get the next Kyle Shanahan for this job, right?
Therein lies the problem, is that, you know, if you look around, there is a sense, and as we're taping this, the Eagles have denied the Jets permission to interview quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo, which is fine. Like, whatever. The guy's had
former JMU Duke bro. Oh,
he's also had 8 jobs in 10 years and stumped for Luke McCown. So I don't
know. He's like 40, but he's like 38. Like, that's what happens for young coaches.
I understand that. I'm just saying, he doesn't particularly intrigue me. There are more intriguing options in there, including one you mentioned. I'd rather have Norv Turner than.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Norv Turner?
I mean, the ideal choice would be Mike McCoy, but I think he's going to have better options. But I don't know. I'm also interested in possibly promoting Carl Durrell instead of that, or hiring someone like Anthony Lynn if he doesn't get a coaching job elsewhere. I don't know. I just think there are a lot of other intriguing options. The thing being, if you listen to Bowles, he called most of this. Okay, so a couple of years ago when Bowles was hired, he said, I'm not going to call the defense. Casey Rogers is going to call the defense. I'm going to be the overseer. I'm going to be the head coach.
Oh, he's doing a great job of overseeing everything with those 4th-and-1 calls
What I was about to say is that
managing the clock.
Bowles actually regressed on that and ended up coaching the defense. He made the play calls on the defensive side, particularly this year into the last few weeks of the season. He has hinted at the fact that he will no longer do that next year, that he will actually step back, give Rodgers the full autonomy of the defense, and become more of the manager of the team. If that is the case, I understand why he kept Rodgers. He wanted someone he trusted. If they were displeased with Gailey and they decided to part ways, you can't part ways with both coordinators and keep the head coach, mm-hmm. right? So if you've got to keep one, you're going to keep the guy you trust or the guy who you know is going to implement your scheme. All right? So I understand the thinking behind it.
The fans hate it.
Right. The optics of it are bad, right? They're not good. Gailey 2 years ago from average NFL statistics had a top 10 offense. Last year, as you said, he was 14th in Football Outsiders DVOA. This year they were, 31st or whatever it was. But the thing that's interesting to me is looking at Chan Gailey's comments, Ray Christian Hackenberg, for the better part of the last 6 months. And I wonder if he was out on not just necessarily the pick, maybe he was in on the pick from the beginning. And we're going to get in conspiracy science theater. So if you don't have a tinfoil hat, either find one and put it on or just skip over this part of the podcast.
Part of the show. It's always the best part. Come on.
I wonder if Gailey, and you listen to him talk about the reps thing. You listen to him talk about how far away Hackenberg is. I mean, these are things he said on the record. And I wonder if he just basically decided they don't know how to develop a quarterback. They don't want to develop this quarterback, or this quarterback is not capable of being developed, and I am out. And Maccagnan and Bowles are like, no, we're still in.
It's a great idea. I mean, it's a great theory. So just to recap it, just so I understand. So you're saying Gailey was not fond of one and or both of those, maybe more specifically Hackenberg than anyone else. And as a result, he said, I can't continue on with this team if this is the guy you're going to give me to run the show. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing about Chan Gailey, though. just to play a little devil's advocate. I love that idea, and I mean, it's fiendish, and I like it. And I am wearing my tinfoil hat, but he's the guy who took what's his face? Who was the guy in Kansas City? Yeah, thank you, Tyler Thigpen, and made him like a viable option. So like, and we've got this trend in the NFL moving towards kind of shorter passes and you know, quick getting the ball out quickly. So if a guy can take Tyler Thigpen and turn him into a, you know, stopgap quarterback, and the emphasis is in some ways putting less on the quarterback now than ever in the last 20 years. What is the bridge that he can't cross for Christian Hackenberg?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's the mechanics issue. I mean, Christian Hackenberg is not an accurate quarterback at all. After the snap, he's pretty much a mess and a disaster. He panics under pressure. The difference with Thigpen is Thigpen was a run-pass option type quarterback. He was a mobile quarterback. He was a spread quarterback, and he took a college offense and implemented it into the NFL. Christian Hackenberg the issue with Christian Hackenberg is not finding an offense in which his skills fit. That was the issue with Tyler Thigpen. Or one of the many, but that was one of the issues. The issues with Christian Hackenberg is his ability to successfully operate and move and play and move the offense within that system. He does a poor job of moving off his first read. He's inaccurate when he's done. His footwork does not match up with his arm and his head. You mentioned about the short passing game and being quick and decisive. He's the opposite. He's not quick. He's not decisive. He freezes. He sits.
Neither is Bryce Petty, right? Bryce Petty will just chuck it deep. And I mean, maybe he was developing some of those more short touch throws by the end of the season, dump offs to Bilal Powell or whatever, but by and large, he just wanted to, you know, air it out, right?
Right. So. And moving forward to what Mike Maccagnan and you know, well, specifically Maccagnan, because what he's going to say. I mean, we can touch on Woody if you want after this, but it's not like he said anything that was surprising or meaningful or interesting or at all actually anything besides canned quotes.
I think we need to talk about the ambassadorship thing.
Okay, we can talk about that in a second. But we'll start with Maccagnan on Bowles or on Hack, in which he, you know, said that we like him as a prospect and said that he's thought he's progressed from the day that he's entered the building. Would not say how much. Would not speculate on Ryan Fitzpatrick's future. Would not speculate on Geno Smith's future. Would not speculate on Bryce Petty's future and whether Bryce Petty had the capability of being a starter. Would just say that Petty has plenty of talent. How did you read the Hackenberg prospect quote?
Yes, that was actually going to be my question to you, which is, if you're calling him. And it could just be a simple slip of the tongue and whatever, but calling him a prospect is troubling to me. I don't like the word prospect. I mean, I understand that, you know, this is football and that guy's a real good football player and he's a good player and he's a, you know, he really gets it and he loves football and he's a player. Like, why do you use the word prospect when football player, you know, is the generic euphemism for a guy, right, in the NFL, and to go out of your way and not to essentially say, hey, we're not saying this guy is anything for this team by denoting him as a prospect is worrisome to me, right? I mean, well, not worrisome. It's what's the word I'm looking for? Validating, confirmational to me of my thoughts on their drafting him in the second round, which I'm like, okay, if he's still a prospect and you're calling him a prospect when people are looking for the future and what you're trying to do with this guy, and you're not saying, you know, he's a, you know, a good young quarterback or something like that, that's troubling. Corey, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I find it difficult to have Hackenberg conversations, not just with you or with myself or with anyone else. It's just, you know, we all kind of have our opinions and we haven't seen anything that's going to change it. You know what
True.
I mean? Like we haven't seen him on the field. We're not going to be the OTAs.
We saw a quarter, a half.
We saw pieces of him in training camp. We didn't see him on the field. We're not in the build. Like everything is second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 175th hand at this point. So I don't know what else there is to be gained from talking about the same information that we've had since, you know, what, August. So I don't know. But I think the thing that's interesting to me is Maccagnan made it a point to highlight some of his other younger prospects, and particularly his draft picks from this year, in his press conference on Thursday. He mentioned Justin Burris, the cornerback, fourth round pick.
Fourth, I think.
And then Brandon Schell was the fifth round pick, the offensive tackle, right. Who started the last couple games. He also mentioned the injuries at wide receiver were hurtful, but mentioned how it allowed them to play and develop guys like Quincy Enunwa and Robbie Anderson and Sherrone Peak. And
Sherrone Peak looked, I mean, did you see that catch he made against the Bills? Oh my, it was like an across the middle, like, you know, kind of flopping, like he kind of like, you know, went over somebody and kind of down on his head type play. And I was like, oh man, who is that? I was like, is that Braylon Edwards? Oh no, it's Sherrone Peak. Okay. Yeah, I'm in.
No,
I'm in.
So you look at this and I'm interested, you know, we talked a little bit about Mike Maccagnan's draft class halfway through this season, his two draft classes. And obviously the 2 second-round picks are less than ideal at the moment between Devin Smith and Christian Hackenberg. But I'm curious what else you make of the draft. We have a full season of this 2016 class. Justin Burris and Brandon Schell played a lot down the last quarter of the season. And then obviously the first round picks played a hefty amount in the last 2 years.
Yeah. And I mean, I like kind of the fieriness and the leadership from Darren Lee already. You know, certainly he has a lot of improvements to make, but as a player, as kind of the, you know, one of those up the middle players for this defense, I certainly think he can bring some energy and excitement and you know, speed. So that's going to be nice. Leonard Williams, of course, is good. You know, we're still, as we've talked about in weeks past, we're still waiting on outside linebackers, you know, just someone to rush the passer. And so that's got to be a priority. I don't know how they go get it, whether it's through the draft or free agency, but that has to be a priority based on what we saw this year. And then, right, I mean, basically other than Justin Burris and, you know, again, he had some moments, but there was a lot of rough stuff from him too. But this secondary is just going to get a torch taken to it, right? I mean, like you've got to burn that thing down almost to the ground and start again. There's just so much work on this team. Every position needs players. Like name me one position on this team that you're like, that group is rock solid for 2017. Their starters are rock solid for 2017. I can't think of a single position group where I could legitimately say that.
Guard and wide receiver.
Okay.
I would say James Carpenter and Brian Winters are pretty much, assuming Brian Winters resigns, I would say those two are pretty much locked in. Now they're going to need a guard of the future for to replace James Carpenter, but with the amount of needs they have this year, it wouldn't surprise me if they kick that position down the line. Wide receiver, you can have your opinion.
If Brandon Marshall doesn't come back,
I still think they're fine because I think I think you have Quincy Enunwa on the outside, assuming Eric Decker's return to health. You have him inside, and then you have Robbie Anderson on the other side, and then you fill in with Devin Smith, Sherrone Peak, and Jalen Marshall. Maybe you draft a late round, you know, a fourth or fifth round wide receiver this year if there's a guy you like with potential similar to how they've done the last couple years. But I just don't think that that's a position where they necessarily need to invest a whole lot of resources at the moment. And I'd like to see them turn Brandon Marshall into a fourth or a fifth round pick, which then becomes maybe a depth edge rusher or a corner or a developmental safety or a running back to take over for Bilal Powell in 2018.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think that's pretty good. I doubt you're going to get much of anything for Brandon Marshall. And I don't think Brandon Marshall wants to go anywhere. I mean, he basically said the other day, you know, he'll play for peanuts to come back and play on this team. So that's that great, might though. Be an option.
But that's great. But Joe Caparoso brought this point up, and we've talked about this in the past as well. This season shouldn't be about, and this plays into what both Woody and Maccagnan said on Thursday. They both talked about building through the draft. They both talked about a slow build that's going to take time, right? And they both mentioned it. Whether we believe them or not, we can talk about that as well. But they both mentioned that, okay? So this needs to be about developing and playing young players. And what do you get from playing Brandon Marshall in 2017 that you don't get from finding out how good Quincy Enunwa is?
I get your point. I get your point. But if I can keep a player of Brandon Marshall's abilities for, I don't know, $2 million, $3 million or something, like that's something I seriously have to consider, regardless of how I'm trying to retool this team.
I get it, but it's not about that. It is about finding the next. It is about finding your wide receiver in 2018 and 2019. It's not about being competitive in 2017. And it is not about giving a 32-year-old wide receiver who's played decreased dramatically this year as he suffered through injuries and more dropped issues. And it's not just about getting Enunwa steps. It's not just about wide receiver. It's down the line, okay? It's at everything. It's not keeping Revis because you need to get Justin Burris and whoever else you want to play at cornerback that's on 27 years and younger snaps. It's getting rid of Marcus Gilchrist because you want to find out if whatever safety you draft is real. You know, it is about moving on to this future that they continue to tell us on Thursday is important. And I guess that plays into my next question, which is that do you believe that Woody will be patient enough to allow Maccagnan time to build through the draft?
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. And I mean, The company line when Maccagnan was brought in was we're going to do this rebuild attition, right? Like we're going to be competitive and we're going to rebuild at the same time. And so it seemed to work out for 2015. The kind of knock on effects results of what we saw in 2016 were disastrous, right? And so bringing back Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, kind of right at midnight, at the stroke of midnight, to lead this team for $12 million, or I can't remember, whatever he made was a mistake, right? Like they should have just kind of gone with what they had or figured something else out and not necessarily relied on him, even though maybe he was the best option. That said, now we're in a situation where the veterans that they paid are older and, you know, kind of clogging up some cap space. But the good news is I can't remember what the cap number is going to be offhand, but I feel like it goes up another $15 million this year, something like that.
Somewhere between 160 and 170.
Yeah, which is crazy, right? So 170 is about $15 million over, I think it was 155 this year. So you cut Revis out of that equation, you cut some other players out of that equation, and the Jets immediately have a lot of money. And so Maccagnan talked about free agency, as he should. He should. I understand if you don't think you're going to be competitive this year, but you still have to start building a team now with the resources you have available to you now for 2018. And if it comes together in 2017 like it did in 2015, then all the better, right? But you've got to start building that now. So, and you've got the money to do it. So go ahead and do it. In terms of what else was there, like the future and Woody, what else was in there? I'm sorry.
I understand what you're saying. No, it's fine. I understand what you're saying. And I think that next year could be rough. And I think the thing that stood out to me about Woody and Maccagnan on Thursday was that they put no playoff or bust mandate on the line. Now, whether fans believe that is a whole matter entirely, and whether Woody believes that is a whole other matter entirely, but they are publicly stating that expectations are not going to be measured by the playoffs, and I'm okay with that. So I'm curious, are you okay with the playoffs not being measured? Like, are you okay with missing the playoffs for, what is it, the eighth straight year if they miss next year?
It feels like it. Sure feels like it. Like, yeah, it might be. Well, since 2010, Rex came in 2009.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 7. So 7. That would be 7 years.
We're starting to catch up to the Bills. This is fantastic. I mean, how insane is it? Let's just do a quick sidebar here and say, I was just thinking about this earlier today. Remember when Rex Ryan had his introductory press conference in 2009 and everybody was, he said something about, it was something about because Obama was being put in office like on around the same day or same time, and they had to delay it or something. And it was some, he had some cute comment where it was like, oh, it's okay, we'll get to go to the White House soon enough anyway. That was 8 years ago, Corey. That was 8 years ago. It was 8 years ago. Oh my God.
And he almost got there.
Yeah, he did. Anyway, so to the point about Woody, is it enough? Is not talking about the playoffs, playoff or bust, is it enough? Yes, it's the right idea. It's the idea that NFL teams should have all the time. There's so much incompetence and just total lack of awareness, bad communication, bad decision-making, bad scouting. Like this whole complex, like this NFL scouting, you know, industrial complex, whatever, is insane. Woody Johnson bought this team in 2000, 2001, whenever that was, for $600 million. Do you know what Forbes has the value of this team at now? I just checked this past week. What do you think?
$2 billion, isn't it, right?
$2.6 billion is what Forbes estimates this team is worth. So you tell me, if you have something, if you bought something that, you know, a piece of valuable jewelry or something for $500 15, 20 years ago, and that thing is now worth five times or more, you know, roughly four or five times worth what it was worth then. Do I have to rush out the door to cash in on that? No, it's rolling. Let it roll. The value of this team's there. Tickets will be there. The revenue from broadcasting and all that other stuff and jerseys and everything is there. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about filling the stupid seats, the stupid PSLs. Don't worry about that stuff. Build a good team and everything else will follow. Just build a freaking good team. Can you do that, please? Just build a good team.
I agree. I think that that would, I think that that is about as well said as you can say. We are going to wrap up our Woody and Matt conversation there.
Am I going insane, Corey? Because I feel like I'm going insane.
No, you're not going insane. And I get the frustration, and fans are frustrated. And it's this comment and this life and this mantra of they followed the process for 50 years and look where I am. And it's like, well, yes, but Woody hasn't owned this team for 15 years or for 50 years. And McCagnan has not been the GM the whole time you've been a fan. And Todd Bowles has not been the and we put this weight of our lifetime of expectations and hope and frustration, and we thrust it upon these guys who have been in these roles for 12 to 48 or 24 to 36 months. And we don't stop to think that, you know, look at where this franchise was for the past 5 years. And it's not just about right now, it's not just about this year or this missed call or this punt against Pittsburgh. It's about a wealth of disappointment and a wealth of frustration and being able to compartmentalize that and look at a team and say, here is the plan. I don't know if it's going to work, but I know that short-circuiting the plan in the past has definitely not worked. So right. They have to let it play out in some way or right. form. So.
Do I want to try and be a team like the Minnesota Vikings or the Cincinnati Bengals or even the Oakland Raiders recently? Or do I want to be a team like the Browns and like the Bills and et cetera, et cetera, and the Niners or whoever? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's it's well said. All right, well, we'll wrap that up there. We'll be plenty of time to talk about that and all of this in the next few weeks. We'll get into the Revis stuff and we'll talk about the future of a lot of veterans on this team. Maybe next week we'll dedicate to talking about strictly the veteran changeover and the veterans due money or the veterans about to leave. We'll dig into Sheldon versus Wilkerson, which is a conversation we've kind of short shifted and had in spurts. We'll talk about Darrell Revis and all that. But before we go for this week, just a quick revisit to some predictions that we made a few weeks ago. How many wins will the Jets finish with? Brian said 4. I said 5. That's a win for me. Do they lose their season finale to Rex and the Bill? You said yes. I said no. Another win for me.
Stupid.
Is this Rex's actual Bill's finality? We both said yes. Although, actually, technically, we were wrong. We both said yes, but he was actually the finale the week before because he did not coach week 17. I don't blame him, actually. That's a whole nother it's the Jets podcast, but I would love to have a fascinating 20-minute conversation on Rex Ryan in Buffalo. Did the Jets get? You said 5. I said 9. You were the closest. They'll pick 6. Final touchdown interception numbers for Bryce Petty. You said 6-7. I said 4-7. He finished with 3-7. I was closest. We both nailed the interceptions.
Why?
You had too much faith, Brian.
Too much faith.
Does Christian Hackenberg get a real snap in a game this season? We both said no. We were both right. Will they have the cap room to re-sign the pylon? As Brian mentioned, the cap is going up $15 million roughly. The Jets will have the cap room to re-sign the pylon.
Well, I mean, he's going to want roughly $20 million in the first year. So, you know, goodbye, Marcus Gilchrist. See you, buddy. We got to get that pylon in here.
Maybe. Nope. Nah, I was going to make a Revis joke, but I'm just going to let it go.
All right. Fair enough.
Folks, we'll be back next week. Like I said, I think next week is a good time to dig into all the veterans. So we'll do that. Until then, make sure you follow Brian on Twitter @Brian_Bassett.
And follow Corey on Twitter @CoreyGriffinNBC.
And if you like this show, along with any of SNY's other audio content, you can find it at SNY.TV audio in your iPhone podcast app or iTunes or wherever it is you listen to your podcast. Just make sure you give us a rating and review. If you happen to find us on iTunes, I happen to notice that we got a surge of those lately. So thank you for those. There were a couple of really fun and thankful and gracious comments. So we appreciate those. Keep them coming. Until next time, folks, keep calm and get on.
Where's my tinfoil hat?
This has been the Jets Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.